morning, everyone. I'm very happy to see you all here. Thank you for your time and coming here. First of all, let me thank the International Federation for Family Development for organizing this meeting and the Doha Institute for co-organizing this event, as well as our expert meeting that's coming up tomorrow. I have to say that this is directly in response to the General Assembly resolutions that we had and ECOSOC resolutions, which recommends to member states and to civil society and other actors, other stakeholders, to have events commemorating the 20th anniversary and the preparatory process for this anniversary, and also holding of regional meetings to explore the themes of the family and review challenges and find solutions for families to benefit them worldwide. So my presentation today will focus on the international perspective on the family. And in particular, I would like to tell you more about the International Year of the Family, its objectives, and about the follow-up process that we have at the UN. And I would be very happy to answer your questions later on. Also, I would like to also acknowledge the presence of Mr. Richardson, Dominic Richardson from OECD, and just to mention that OECD is doing tremendous work in research on families, and it's very uniquely positioned to tell us what kind of policies for families we need. So I'm also very happy to have him here to tell us more about, especially about poverty and families. So going back to 1994, we had an International Year of the Family at the United Nations, and the general theme for this International Year was Family Resources and Responsibilities in a Changing World. And the motto of it was Building the Smallest Democracy at the Heart of Society. These themes, I think, really represent what the international community thinks about families. Families provide resources for society that society uses, and they have specific responsibilities that societies expect them to fulfill. However, often these responsibilities are not helped to be fulfilled to its maximum capacity. And that was the main objective of the year, to raise awareness about families and acknowledge that they are both beneficiaries and agents of development. And the International Year gave an impetus to and a set of actions that benefited families at national, regional, and international levels. And starting in 94 also, we had the first International Day of Families. And this also is an event that is supposed to raise awareness of families at national levels. And we have an observance of it at the United Nations as well. And going through the resolutions on families through the years, I thought it would be interesting and to mention one of them that was prior to the International Year, where the General Assembly stated that the General Assembly appeals to member states as well as to other participants in the observance of the year to highlight 1994 as a special occasion to benefit families of the world in their quest for a better life for all, based on the principle of subsidiarity, which seeks solutions to problems at the lowest level of the societal structure. I think this is very telling, because sometimes policies are taken, you know, on top without taking into account the basic structures that societies are based on, and involving those actors in designing and monitoring and implementing of those policies. So as I mentioned, the International Year gave us an opportunity to consider family issues at the International Forum. And a lot of research on family-related topics was conducted. And based on that research, we had reports of the Secretary General, and they were on the variety of subjects. And we had these reports were considered by the General Assembly and the Commission for Social Development, and the General Assembly and the Economic and Social Council adopted many resolutions on family, on families, and offered recommendations to member states, civil society, other stakeholders, how to pursue family issues and what policies would benefit them. So the main objectives of the International Year, as well as the follow-up process, which was the 10th anniversary, and now we're approaching 20th anniversary, was to raise awareness on challenges that are faced by families, strengthen national institutions to develop, implement, and monitor family-centered policies. Another objective was to improve the collaboration among the national and international civil society organizations in support of family-oriented activities, and build upon the results of major events of concern to the family and its individual members, review challenges, recommend solutions, support families in their functions, and share good practices in family policymaking. Guiding principles that are guiding the United Nations are based on the program of action of the World Social Summit. And that summit was conducted in Copenhagen in 1995, and our work is based on some very basic assumptions about families. So the family is the basic unit of society, and it should be strengthened. It is entitled to receive comprehensive protection and support. And in different cultural, political, and social systems, various forms of the family exist. Now, the functions that were enumerated in this particular document was supporting, educating, and nurturing functions. And it was clearly stated, and we have research documenting the fact that all these functions contribute to social integration and building of cohesive societies. There are more principles concerning families on the subsequent summits and conferences, such as Beijing Conference on Women, World Summit for Children. And as I mentioned, my previous objectives, one of them is built upon the results of major events. So such events as the Beijing Conference on Women and other summits also guide the work on family issues at the UN. And of course, over the years, member states recommended specific action in the resolutions that were adopted by General Assembly and the Commission. Now, what can be done to support the family functions that I mentioned previously? First of all, encouraging social and economic policies that are designed to meet the needs of families and their individual members are essential here. So, and especially those most disadvantaged and vulnerable members, such as children. Ensuring opportunities for family members to understand and meet their social responsibilities. Promoting mutual respect, tolerance, and the cooperation within the family and within society. And promoting equal partnership between women and men in the family. For the observance of the 20th anniversary, the themes that are also the themes for this meeting were confronting family poverty and social exclusion, ensuring work-family balance, and advancing social integration and intergenerational solidarity within families and communities. These themes were chosen for a variety of reasons. Well, first of all, those are the themes that reflect the mandate of the World Summit for Social Development, which are eradication of poverty, expansion of productive employment, that was in 1995, but now this really evolved into decent work agenda that was promoted by ILO and now system-wide, UN system-wide, and social integration. So these three areas still require attention and urgent action to benefit families. And there are major demographic and socioeconomic trends that impact these issues, and they are all relevant in all regions. The first topic, confronting family poverty and social exclusion, of course, this is the main goal of the United Nations on its Millennium Development Goals agenda. Eradication of poverty is definitely the issue that a lot of progress has been done, but the progress is still uneven. And we have research documenting that poverty eradication efforts are successful when they focus on families. We have a lot of examples of poverty being drastically reduced in many countries of Latin America, for example, when the solutions focus on families. It's also important to note that poverty is not only about income, and poverty is can be manifested through social exclusion. And fighting of social exclusion, which is really based in discrimination, in prejudice, in inequality, lack of access of resources, and lack of voice, fighting of the exclusion is also contributing to poverty eradication, and it shouldn't be forgotten that the efforts should also focus on these aspects of poverty. Unfortunately, poverty and social exclusion are still prevalent. I mean, Dominique will probably will tell us that child poverty, despite many efforts, has not diminished. It's a very troubling sign. Also, despite some positive legislation, social exclusion continues, and this is this, for example, relates to persons with disabilities, older persons, ethnic minorities, and other groups. And global progress on this issue has been very uneven worldwide. The next theme is ensuring work-family balance. And here, the families really face a lot of challenges caring for small children, but also, let's not forget, caring for older persons or children with disabilities, for example. And they find it more and more difficult to reconcile their work obligations and family responsibilities. This is really due to several trends that are, well, increasing. We have more and more women entering labor force. We have less availability of extended family members to care for vulnerable family members. Work responsibilities are more demanding. For example, the nighttime work is on the increase in many developed countries. And of course, we know with the high unemployment, we have an increasing competition for jobs that tremendously impacts work-family balance. The last theme, the advancing of social integration and intergenerational solidarity within families and communities, here we have, again, we have trends that impact this particular aspect of family life. So extended families are shrinking and may not live in close proximity. That can be due to migration, could be a personal choice, could be simply for in search for jobs. Families are becoming more diverse. Young people delay marriage and childbearing, depend on their families longer. The families may carry a double or even triple burden of supporting very young children and also young adults staying at home, in addition to older parents. Populations are rapidly aging, and the burden of care is still placed on women, despite some signs that men's participation in family and household duties is increasing. Still, in the majority of countries, the women's burden of care is much larger. So thinking about the further action that we want to have on these issues, and taking into account all the trends that I mentioned, we think it's important to raise awareness of these issues, and this meeting helps to do that. It's very important to design, to implement and monitor policies, in particular in those areas. Promoting research is especially important. I mean, we really have many experts coming to our expert group meetings, and that's what they say. the research is not sufficient globally. We don't really know how families are impacted by these trends in many regions of the world and what should be developed at the regional level. And it's very important to share good practices. And we had an expert meeting on sharing of good practices, and we'll continue doing that at the European level as well. So to conclude, International Year of the Family, 20th anniversary preparations, give us a chance to refocus on families. We need to demonstrate that families should be at the center of social and economic policies, and development of policies for poverty eradication, for work-family balance, and for intergenerational solidarity should be promoted at all levels, since it contributes to the well-being of families and society at large. I would like to thank you very much for your attention, and also feel free to contact me and visit our website. We have more information and we have lots of research available there. And for example, we have background papers on the three themes that I mentioned to you, with a lot of examples from countries around the world telling us what they are doing to advance these topics. Thank you.